Britain imposes zero-hour crackdown, forcing firms into £2.9 billion hit. The UK government's own analysis has put a price tag on Labour's zero-hours contract reform, up to £2.9 billion annually in new employer costs, with hospitality and retail holding the largest exposure and no clear path to offset through pricing power. Published on 13 August 2026, the government impact assessment sets a cost range of £350 million to £2.9 billion per year, depending on where the hours threshold ultimately lands. At the upper end of that range, roughly £1.2 billion of the total derives from mandatory compensation payments when employers cancel shifts. The government's stated preference is to set the qualifying threshold between 8 and 20 hours per week, which would keep real-world costs well below the ceiling figure and closer to the midpoint estimate of £1.1 billion. Layered on top are systems costs. Helen Dickinson, chief executive of the British Retail Consortium, stated that retailers alone face hundreds of millions of pounds in payroll infrastructure upgrades. "We are already facing a youth unemployment crisis," said Kate Shoesmith, director of policy at the British Chambers of Commerce. "Now is not the time to make it even more costly for employers to hire. The stakes extend well beyond compliance budgets." The number of people on zero-hours contracts reached a record 1.23 million in December 2025, an increase of 91,000 in a single year. Any structural shift in how that cohort is compensated ripples directly into the labor cost base of some of the UK's most private equity-owned, margin-sensitive sectors. Skills Minister Baroness Jackie Smith told Sky News the government would look very carefully at implementation timing. "That language signals regulatory discretion remains in play, but for portfolio managers running hospitality or retail assets, the direction of travel is not in doubt. The £2.9 billion number is a ceiling, not a forecast. What the range means for modeling the width of the cost range, £350 million to £2.9 billion, is not analytical imprecision. It reflects a genuine policy variable. The hours threshold has not been fixed. The government's preferred band of 8 to 20 hours per week would capture a subset of the 1.23 million zero-hours workers, producing costs closer to the midpoint. Union pressure, notably from groups pushing for a 48-hour-per-week threshold, would capture a far larger population and push costs toward the upper bound. For institutional modeling purposes, the operative scenario is the government's stated preference range. At the £1.1 billion midpoint, annualized cost per affected worker across the 1.23 million base implies roughly £894 per head per year. That figure is not disclosed in the source material. It is a placemium calculation based on source data. It is not evenly distributed. Hospitality and retail absorb a disproportionate share given their structural reliance on variable hour staffing. The government simultaneously projects a £10 billion economic benefit from improved worker well-being and productivity, which it says would reduce the net average annual cost to between £300 million and £1.4 billion. That benefit estimate is not monetized in granular form. Officials acknowledged in the assessment that the full benefit range is not possible to monetize. "Our view, the £10 billion productivity figure should be treated as directionally credible, but operationally irrelevant for near-term portfolio modeling. It accrues to the macroeconomy over time. The compliance cost lands on employer P and LS in year one." Hospitality and retail, the sectors carrying the load, the government's analysis explicitly identified hospitality and retail as the primary cost bearers. Both sectors share structural characteristics that amplify exposure: high proportions of part-time and variable hours staff, thin EBITDA margins, limited pricing power in a cost-of-living-constrained consumer environment, and payroll systems historically built around flexible scheduling. The payroll system's upgrade cost, flagged by the British Retail Consortium, adds a capital expenditure dimension that sits outside the ongoing annual cost estimate. For private equity-owned retail assets already navigating national living wage increases implemented in prior years, this represents a second wave of employment-related cost inflation, arriving before the first is fully absorbed. The government's midpoint estimate puts annual net costs at 1.1 billion across the UK employer base, before the 10 billion productivity offset. For private equity portfolios concentrated in hospitality and retail, sector-level exposure per asset will depend on Zerohour's headcount as a proportion of total workforce. Charlotte Brumpton Childs, GMB National Secretary, characterized Zerohour's contracts as archaic and dismissed employer concerns as routine opposition to change. The Trades Union Congress took a similar line, arguing that the bulk of the upper-cost scenario materializes only when employers cancel shifts at the last minute, and that the legislation is designed to eliminate that behavior. The implication: a well-managed employer with predictable scheduling may face minimal incremental cost. A poorly managed one faces maximum exposure. Regulatory sequencing: Zerohour sits inside a broader UK labour cost stack. This reform does not arrive in isolation. The UK has layered employment cost increases across multiple fronts since 2024. National living wage rates moved higher. Employers' national insurance contributions were restructured. Workers' rights legislation expanded sick pay and parental leave entitlements, as reported in October 2024. The Zerohour's reform is the next layer. Separately, UK infrastructure-linked businesses face a different cost vector. Ofwat on 13 August 2026 provisionally approved 3.4 billion in additional customer bill increases for 13 water companies in England and Wales to fund infrastructure maintenance, housing-related demand growth, and remediation of PFAS contamination. Bill increases for customers of Severn Trent, Southern Water, Thames Water, Wessex Water, and South East Water are scheduled between the 2027-28 and 2029-30 financial years, ranging from £1 to £43 per customer. The implication for macro positioning: UK consumer disposable income faces pressure from multiple regulated cost increases simultaneously. That constrains the ability of hospitality and retail operators to pass labor cost inflation through to end prices, making the gross employment cost impact of Zerohour's reform more durable on margins than in a neutral pricing environment. Investment positioning: where the risk concentrates and where it doesn't for private equity sponsors and institutional allocators, three questions determine portfolio materiality. First, what percentage of portfolio company headcount sits on Zerohour's or variable hours arrangements? Companies with Zerohour's workers representing more than 20% of total headcount face a structurally different cost profile than those where the number is incidental. Second, at what threshold does the government set the qualifying hours floor? The 8 to 20 hour band is the stated preference. A final determination below 12 hours would materially narrow the affected population. A determination toward 20 hours, or any subsequent upward pressure from union lobbying toward 48 hours, expands it sharply. Third, how much of the cost is one-time versus recurring? Payroll system upgrades are capital events. Shift cancellation compensation and guaranteed hours top-ups are operational and recurring. They behave differently in hold period modeling and exit multiple discussions. Businesses with strong scheduling discipline and low shift cancellation rates face limited incremental cost under the TUC's own framing. The reform is, in structural terms, a tax on scheduling inefficiency. The placemium view: the market is treating this as a pure cost story. It is more accurately a competitive structure story. The Zerohour's reform compresses margins across the entire hospitality and retail sector simultaneously. That should, in theory, be sector neutral. In practice, It advantages scale operators with the systems, scheduling technology, and management infrastructure to adapt quickly, and it disadvantages subscale independents and private equity-owned platforms still integrating acquisitions with fragmented HR systems. The 1 billion midpoint annual cost, spread across the UK employer base, is manageable in aggregate. Concentrated in the tail of undercapitalized hospitality operators carrying acquisition debt from 2020-2023 vintages at multiples that have since compressed, it becomes an exit timing problem. The more interesting second-order trade is in workforce management technology. The payroll systems upgrade demand flagged by the British Retail Consortium represents a procurement cycle that benefits enterprise HR software and scheduling platform vendors. UK-exposed SaaS businesses in this category warrant a closer look as a derivative play on the compliance obligation. The government's consultation window on the hours threshold is also a signal. This is not fully baked. Active engagement in the consultation process is standard practice for large trade bodies and should be standard practice for any private equity sponsor with material hospitality or retail exposure. The difference between an 8-hour and a 16-hour threshold is not academic. It determines whether a given portfolio company's zero-hours workforce falls inside or outside the new obligation entirely. Finally, the parallel track of Diageo's 1 billion cost reduction program under incoming Chief Executive Sir Dave Lewis illustrates a broader pattern. UK consumer-facing companies across beverages, hospitality, and retail are simultaneously absorbing input cost inflation, employment cost increases, and demand pressure from a consumer base facing higher regulated bills. The companies that survive this compression cycle at acceptable margins are the ones worth owning at the exit. The bottom line, Labour's zero-hours reform will cost UK employers between £350 million and £2.9 billion annually, with hospitality and retail carrying the largest share of that burden. The government's preferred threshold keeps real costs near 1 billion net of productivity offsets, but the final number depends on a consultation process that remains open. For institutional portfolios with exposure to UK consumer-facing sectors, the immediate task is a headcount audit by contract type. The strategic task is determining whether current hold period assumptions price in a sustained, multi-year labor cost inflation environment. Given national insurance changes, wage floor increases, and now zero-hours reform arriving in sequence, the answer for most models is they do not.